Let me ask you to open your Bible, if you would please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and look at verse 9 and 10. And while you're turning in your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let me take this moment to say how much I appreciate Dr. Moeller extending to me this gracious invitation to stand here and to worship with you this morning. And let me also thank Dr. York for his gracious words of introduction. And let me also indicate to you how good it is to see Heather King once again, for she was a part of our staff for 6 years. And we're delighted that God has brought her here to this significant post to lead women's ministry. She did a marvelous work for us in Indiana as she led our work with WMU and women's ministry and helped us to learn how to blend those two areas of our work. So I say it is good to be here and thank you for the privilege. Now you may wonder how I was led to speak today about men and women of prayer. Where in the world did you find that, and how come you to be led to that? When I realized that I was to have the privilege of being here with you today, I thought about the years that were mine many, many years ago, more than 50 now, as we were students at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. And one day in our seminary there, they took a prayer survey. Now, I don't know if you've ever participated in a prayer survey. This was a survey that you didn't have to sign, so most of the students were willing to tell the truth. That is significant. So as we took that survey that day as to how long we prayed on a daily basis, it was a very alarming thing that we had reported to us. For here we were, the future leaders of the convention, and we were being asked, how long do you pray on a daily basis? Some prayed 15 minutes. Some prayed 30 minutes. There were a few that prayed an hour a day. But the average for that student body was 5 minutes or less. 5 minutes or less. And as my mind rushed back to that experience of participating in that survey and of receiving the answer to that survey, and as I look back over 54 years of service in the kingdom of God, I've come to understand that if you're going to be what God would have you to be, perhaps more than anything else, you need to be men and women of prayer. And so I want you this morning to look with me into a passage of Scripture that presents that very truth. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thou thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Here in one of the least read books, of the least read sections of that book, in all of the Bible, we find the account of Jabez. Now, the Bible says that Jabez was given this name not by a stranger or not by an enemy, but he was given this name by his mother. It was as a memorial to her sorrow, the Bible says, as she bore him. Now, it might not really be a big calamity today to be called Jabez. But in that day and time, to be called Jabez was significant. For it meant pain or sorrowful. Imagine every morning when he got up, he had to be called Mr. Pain or Mr. Sorrowful. Imagine every day when he heard his name called, he had to think about calamity and disaster and troubles and difficulties. Every day as Jabez's name was called, he was reminded of the fact that it meant pain and sorrow. Well, Jabez had a handicap. You say, well, what was the handicap of Jabez? Well, certainly his name was a handicap. Just to go through his life being called pain and being called sorrowful was enough handicap. Why? What did it really signify? What did it really mean for him to be called Jabez? Why was he given that name? Some have said perhaps he was given this name because of the pain that his mother had when she bore him. It may have been a breech birth. I doubt seriously that that was the reason that he was given the name. Others have suggested that since the Bible says that his mother named him Jabez, that it well may indicate that he went through life without a father. His father may have died, or perhaps it was that his father had abandoned him and his mother. And so he never had the privilege of having someone that he could call dad, someone that would be his father. There are others who have suggested that he was given the name because it was indicative of the barren environment in which he was going to spend his life. And it was a barren environment. All you have to do is read all of this fourth chapter and you'll discover how barren the land was where he was. Well, there have been a lot of suggestions as to why he was given this name Jabez. And I've concluded that they probably don't any of them know why it was. And I've also concluded that it probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We don't have to know why he was called Jabez or why his mother gave him this terrible name. But I want you to notice here how it was that Jabez reacted to his handicap. You know, how you react to your handicap is significant. And I want you to notice here that Jabez, with his handicap, did not become a coward. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us anything at all about Jabez wanting to run and hide because he had a handicap. The Bible doesn't say anything at all about Jabez being filled with self-pity and being filled with laziness and bewailing all of the weaknesses of his life because he had a handicap. The Bible doesn't indicate to us that Jabez allowed his handicap to make him hard and cruel. You see, there are some people, if they don't become cowards over their handicap, they become hard and cruel. They become rock-like and cold as icicles. They lose the milk of human kindness, the warmth of their heart and the warmth of their spirit because of their handicap. And then there's some, because of their handicap, they not only become cowards and they not only become hard and cruel, but they surrender to bitterness and to hate. The saddest thing that I've ever seen is people with a handicap who allow it to make them hard and bitter toward God. They literally hate God because of the handicap that is theirs. But I want to suggest to you it wasn't any of these that Jabez chose to deal with his handicap. The Bible says that Jabez allowed his handicap to move him to God. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, if you're here with some kind of a handicap, and all of us have some kind of a handicap, the thing to do is to allow that handicap to move you to God. The Bible says that Jabez allowed his handicap to put him upon his knees and caused him to face upward and to look upward to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, how significant these words. For whatever it is that you face in life, whatever handicap, whatever trouble, whatever difficulty, the best place for men and women of God is to be on their knees, facing upward, looking upward toward heaven. But I want you to notice how it was that Jabez prayed. I want you to notice that Jabez prayed intelligently. Notice there that the Bible says that he called unto the God of Israel. What does that really mean? Well, that means that he didn't fall on his knees and say, "Oh, Baal, hear me." Oh, there were a lot that were calling out that way that day. But not Jabez. He cried out unto the God of Israel. He cried out to Jehovah God. He didn't cry out as many cry out today, "Oh Mary, hear us." But all he would cry out as we cry out, "Oh Lord Jesus, hear us." When you're in the midst of a handicap, to pray intelligently is significant. To pray unto Jehovah God, to pray unto the Lord Jesus Christ is significantly important. But oh, I want you to notice something else about how Jabez prayed. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jabez just said, "Oh God, bless me. Oh God, bless me." But all the Scripture says that Jabez prayed earnestly, fervently. He cried out to God, "Oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed, O God." I wonder sometimes how much our Heavenly Father yearns to hear us pray earnestly. Not without passion, not without spirit, not without earnestness, but to cry out earnestly to our God. But I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice that when Jabez prayed, he not only prayed intelligently and he not only prayed earnestly, but I want you to know that he prayed definitely. You see, the Bible says that he knew what he wanted and he asked for what he wanted. And how wonderful it is when we come into the presence of God, that we come to pray definitely, not indefinitely. That we come to pray pointedly and specifically to our Lord and to our God. Now, I want you to notice in particular this morning how it was that Jabez prayed and how what he asked God for. For 54 years, Delilah and I, 53 of these years, she's been by my side. But for 54 years, I've had a prayer that I prayed almost daily to my Lord and my God. I'd recommend it to every one of you this morning. Oh, Lord God, help me to finish well. Oh, Lord God, help me to finish well. And sometimes I prayed that prayer with tears. Sometimes I prayed that prayer with joy. But oh, I tell you, whether it was the midnight hour when I prayed it or whether it was in the early hour of the morning that I prayed it, whether it was holding the hand of my wife or whether we were in our bed at night, we've always asked our God, oh Lord God, help us to finish well. Help us to finish well. But I've come to tell you this morning that I've learned also from Jabez that there's some other things for which you have to pray if you're going to finish well. Now, I want you to notice specifically what it was that Jabez asked God. You see, first of all, Jabez said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. That thou would bless me indeed. What was it that Jabez was asking God to give him? And I think the answer is he was asking for the grace of God. There isn't one of us that'll ever finish well without the grace of God. There isn't one of us that'll ever get to the end without the grace of God. He didn't pray, give me the biggest church. He didn't pray, give me prosperity. He didn't pray, give me victory over those that are my enemies. But all Jabez prayed, oh Lord God, give me your grace. You see, what it was that Jabez recognized was the simple fact that without divine enabling, he could never do what God wanted him to do. You may think you can do it without his enabling, but I've got news for you. You can't. You won't. The saddest thing that I've ever seen has been the preacher fall on his knees and pray, oh Lord God, I've lost your power. I've lost your power, oh Lord God. I've lost your power. I want you to know that without His power, you'll never do it. If there's anything that we need among Southern Baptists, it's a little supernatural religion. It's an enabling of our God that we might have the grace to serve Him and to honor Him. But I want you to notice that He asked for something else. He didn't just pray, oh Lord God, bless me, passionately, earnestly, definitely. But I want you to notice that he also prayed for growth. Notice there that the Bible says that he prayed, oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my post. I've seen an awful lot of people in these 54 years who said, I've just got more to do than I know how to do. I'm just worn out. I've seen so many worn out preachers and staff members that it almost wears me out. Friend, I want you to know Jabez wasn't wearing out. He may have had a handicap, but he was praying to the Lord a revolutionary prayer. He was praying to the Lord a testing prayer. He wanted to be strained. He wanted to be tested. Oh, Lord God, enlarge my coast. Give me, O Lord God, a greater and deeper faith than I've ever had. Inflame me with your love. Make me to conform unto your image. Oh, Lord God, make me all that you'd have me to be. Help me to grow. You can mark it down this morning that an old preacher told you this. When you stop growing, you are through. You're through. You might as well just quit, do something else. Because you're through. I want you to know that's one of the things that's wrong with 11,000 Southern Baptist churches this morning. 11,000 of our churches, 1/4 of our churches this past year, did not baptize one single soul. I can tell you why. The preachers, the members of those churches, have stopped growing. They've not wanted any test. They've not wanted to be stretched. They've not wanted to be made larger for the empowering of the kingdom of God. But all I want you to notice here that Jabez didn't just ask God for grace and for growth, but he asked him also for guidance. He asked him for guidance. You see, the Bible says that he said to God that you will take my hand, that thy hand might be upon me. I want to assure you this morning, if all you ever do is what you can do in your own strength, you'll never be the man and the woman that God wants you to be in serving Him. You see, it's not until the day comes that you're willing to try something that's bigger than you are. And you know that if you succeed, it'll take the hand of God guiding you. The hand of God is always an indication of His presence and His power and of His guidance. And so Jabez said, I want you to take your hand and put it upon me and guide me. It's interesting that he didn't tell him where to guide him. It's interesting that he didn't tell him how to guide him. But he said, you just guide me. You just guide me, Lord. Take your hand and put it upon me and guide me. I'm always reminded of that mother and little child who comes to that busy street section, that corner. And that little child, knowing that it would be dangerous to walk across that intersection without the hand of the mother, reaches up and takes the hand of the mother. And the mother guides the child across to the safety of the other side. Oh, you see, that's what Jabez did. Jabez said, I'm lifting up my hand, Lord. Would you take my hand in your hand, Lord? Would you guide me? Guide me, Lord. Oh, Lord, I need your grace. I want you to give me growth And Lord, I want you to give me guidance. But all that wasn't all for which he prayed. I want you to look again into that little verse. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. You see, dear friend, Jabez knew that the one thing that he had to have, if he had to have anything, was for God to protect him from evil. You know, that's really what the Lord taught us to pray. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You see, it's the evil one who has the power to destroy you and me. It's sin that has the power to destroy our lives and to keep us from being what we ought to be. And so it was as Jabez prayed. He prayed, O Lord God, I won't ask you for grace. I want to ask you, Lord, for growth. I want to ask you for guidance. I want to ask you for godliness. And so all of these years, Delilah and I have prayed, Lord, we want to finish well. Lord God, help us to finish well. And we've come to realize that if we're going to finish well, we, like Jabez, will have to say to our God, O Lord God, give me your grace. O Lord God, give me growth. O Lord God, give me guidance. Give me godliness that I might finish well. There's one other thing that I want you to notice, or two, in the conclusion of the message this morning. The first is, did it do any good for Jabez to pray this way? Well, the Bible says that God granted him that which he requested. Say, well, how's that significant for us today? Very significant. For the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God that answered the prayer of Jabez when he prayed for grace and growth and guidance and godliness will answer your prayer. Your prayer to finish well. The Bible began in its description of Jabez by saying to us these words, that Jabez was God's honorable man. God's honorable man. How would you like to be God's honorable man? How would you like to be God's honorable woman? How would you like to be an honorable servant of God? You say, can it be? Yes, it can be. You can be an honorable man of God, an honorable woman of God. You say, what does it take? It takes prayer. More prayer and much prayer. Prayer, more prayer, and much prayer. Prayer for grace. Prayer for growth. Prayer for guidance. Prayer for godliness. That you might finish well. May every one of you be men and women.